We continue our learning of the Mishmas Davi ben Menachem Shem Chav Yaakov ben Brichter Leo. We are in Mechores Perek Tes Mishnah Gimel Halakuach Osheni Tanlo Matana Pater Rinasa Behema. Bakar and so on that a person bought from his friend Lakuach, he bought it, or Nitan Matana, where he received it as a gift, he's exempt from Maaser Behema. Person is only chayv to be maaser, to take maaser, one of every 10 animals that are born in his flock, but not that he gets it as a gift or purchases. That's based on the pasuk in Shavos Chav Beis, B'chor Banecha Titen Li, Kein Taseh L'Shorcha L'Tzonecha. So we learn, just like Banecha, your own children, you don't buy them, you don't give them as a gift, so too Tzoncha and Shorcha, which are at the end of the pasuk. It says again, B'chor banecha titen li, that's referring to pidyon habein, and then kein taseh l'shorcha l'tzonecha. Now shorcha and tzonecha, if it's compared to pidyon habein, is not referring to maaser behem, it's referring to b'chor. But nonetheless, the Gemara says, I don't need this pasuk to teach me anything about b'chor. So the link between b'chor banecha, pidyon habein, your children are not bought, they're not given as a gift. Between that and shorcha and tzonecha must be linking together pidyon habein, banecha, and shorcha tzonecha of maaser behema, because I don't need that for b'chor, even though that may be what it's speaking about. It's the concept of eino inyan lezeh, teneu inyan lezeh. It's not needed for this topic, so we'll apply it to this topic. So shorcha tzonecha, which are your cattle and your sheep, which are being used, we assume now, for maaser behema, should be like banecha, just like banecha. There's only a halacha of pidyon habein for your children that are obviously yours, they're not bought, not given as a gift. So too, maaser behema, only for a shor and its own that are yours and not bought and not given as a gift. Then the Mishnah says something which we learned in Shkolim, in Perek Aleph, Mishnah Zayin, and we've learned this in the past as well, on other occasions. Ha'achim hashutafin shechayavin ba'kolbon. Brothers that are partners who are chayv to pay the kolbone surcharge, we'll talk about that in a moment, p'turim mimaser behema, are exempt from maaser behema, v'shechayavin b'maaser behema, and when brothers are chayav in maaser behema, that they're not shutaf and they're not partners, p'turim and kolbone, they are going to be exempt from the special surcharge. So there's an inverse relationship between what we call the kolbon and the obligation of a maaser behema. So what's the kolbon? So we learned in Masechet Shkolim and other places that is an extra coin that has to be given in addition to the machatzas shekel. Beginning of Adar, all Jewish males have to give a half shekel to the Beis HaMikdash to be used for the new Karbanos that begin in Nisan, so we start collecting in Adar. And why is there this payment of a kolbon? If you're giving under certain circumstances, you have to pay extra. So the answer is because half shekel coins during the month of Adar are in demand. And therefore, the price of two half shekels are actually more than the price of one shekel. So someone who wants to exchange, let's say, a full shekel for two half shekels would have to pay a money changer. You pay a certain surcharge for making that exchange. So if, let's say, someone brings to the Beis HaMikdash not two shkolim, one for, not two half shekel, one for him, one for his friend, but he said, listen, I'm bringing for me, for my friend and for myself, so here's a shekel for both of us. So the Beis HaMikdash really ends up losing out because when you give one shekel, you're really giving less value than if you were giving two half shekels. So because of that inequality, the Chachamim said that anyone who's giving a shekel to share, to pay for two people, has to add on a kolbon, a surcharge, so that which would have to end up paid to a money changer to exchange that full shekel for two half shekels. That's one explanation. Others claim because half shekel pieces were thin and they're very easy to get ruined. So people would often exchange their half shekels for larger coins, and that needed a service charge to a money changer as well. So anyone who would be giving a half shekel would be giving the Beis HaMikdash something a little bit lower than the value, because the Beis HaMikdash would then, in order to exchange those coins, half shekels, which were prone to loss, for larger coins, he'd have to pay money. So it's really just the opposite, according to some. And it's not that a half shekel is worth more, but the half shekel is really worth less. And either way, when you pay, under certain circumstances, you would have to pay this kolbon. Now, if that's true, that should apply to anyone who's giving a half shekel. So, according to this, yes, everyone who gave it a half shekel would have to give pay this surcharge, but it would apply even if people gave a full shekel because lo plug, you know, make a distinction between the halachos. Under all circumstances, you're going to give, pay this kolba. But there are circumstances where you don't have to pay the kolbon at all. Let's say a person is giving a half shekel on behalf of a poor person, or before on behalf of his neighbor as a gift. So he's putzer from a kolbon. A person who is giving a half shekel from his possessions for his children as a gift, also putzer from a kolbon. But if you have shutfin partners who are giving their half shekel as one, so then they are chayv in the kolbon. So if you're shutfim, so then you have to pay the kolbon. So that's what the Mishnah is saying here. If you have achin hashutfim, what happened? They were yoreish from the father, and then they joined in partnership. So they divided and then they joined together. So since they're shutfim are chayv in the kolbon. They're chayv in the kolbon. But because they're shutfim, they're parts of Masa Behema. Masa Behema doesn't apply to shutfim. It applies to b'chor banecha. Only yours specifically, not of its own b'shutfus. So where there's a chiyuv of kolbon, which means there's a shutfus, there's going to be an exemption from maser behema. But the shechayavim of maser behema. But if you have brothers that did not form a partnership, they did not, they didn't divide up the nechse yerusha at all. They, and we'll, the Mishnah will give the example. Tfisas habayis, it's the very beginning. Even before they even divide anything, they certainly didn't join in a partnership. So here they're going to be chayv and maser behema. Why? Because that's not a shutfus. That's the chiyuv of the yerusha. So it's as if it's still in their father's possession. Therefore, there is a chiyuv maser behema from any offspring that that are born from the behemos of that yerusha. So if they're at that state where the chayv maser behema, where they haven't divided and then joined in a partnership, then Turim not Kolbon. They're exempt from Kolbon. Why? Because this would be tantamount to a father giving a shekel on behalf of his children. Because where are they getting this half shekel from? From the estate, which has not been divided yet. It's as if the father is giving it to the son, which we know there's a Ptur. So therefore the Mishnah explains, Kanu mitzvisas abayis from the Nichse Yerusha. So the brothers didn't really buy, but it means that they divided. It means that they haven't divided yet. They've acquired. They've been yorish, they've inherited the tfisas habayis, which is the estate of the father, and they haven't divided anything, haven't joined in any partnership yet. So that's the case where chayavin, the chayavin maser behema, but v'imlav, but if not, and meaning they either divide, as the Mishnah will explain, and certainly if they join together as they join as shutfim, they're going to be part of v'imlav. If they have not, which means what is lav? They were did not acquire from tefisas habayis, which means as the Mishnah explains, chalku of a chazum nishtatu, they divided the estate and then they joined together. So therefore, chayavin bekolbon. Because they are shutfim and p'turim maser behema because once again they're shutfim. Perek Tes Mishnah Dalet. Hakol nichnas ladir lehisaser. All animals can enter the corral for the purposes of maser behema, where you have them walk through one at a time through the fence, and the tenth one you put on a red stripe, and that is considered considered your maser behema. So why do I need the Mishnah to say hakol, all animals? So the Gemara says, although we'll have a whole list of exceptions in the Mishnah, there are additional animals that one would have thought should not have a chiyuv maser behema, but indeed do. Hakol, the Gemara says, comes to include a roveah and a nirbah, which are animals, a male or a female, involved in bestiality. A muktzeh, which is an animal that was designated for avodah zarah, an animal that was served as avodah zarah. Esnan zona, the gift that was given to a zona, that animal. Mechir kelev, one that was exchanged for a dog. And tumtum and androgynos. All of these, even though they would be possible for a korban, they do enter the corral for the halachos of maser behema. Why is that? Because the Torah is not makpid on a balmum regarding maser behema. It says, lo yivaker bein tov l'ra. So it doesn't mean that I can bring it as a korban, but it does mean that it has a kiddush of maser behema, and therefore, if it ends up being the 10th animal, you can eat it with this mum. Can't bring it as a carbon, but nonetheless, it does enter the deer, the corral for maser. What are the exceptions? So that's what we have in the Mishnah. Chutz bina kilayim. Kilayim is, let's say, an animal that was born from a he-goat and a lamb. So too a nidmeh. Let's say you have a sheep, but it gave birth to something that looked like a goat, or a goat that gave birth to something that looks like a sheep. So that's also in the category of kilayim. The hatrefa, an animal that has one of the many defects that we spoke about in the third parak of Chulin. The yotze dofen, an animal that was born through cesarean section. Umechuser zman, an animal that's within the first 7 days of being born. The yasom, and an orphan, and we'll see what that means at the end of the Mishnah, what an orphan is. Why are these excluded from Maser Behema? Based on the Brisa of the Gemara. Pasuk says regarding Karbanos, Shor o chesev o eiz ki yivaleid, v'haya shivas yamim tachasimo. So Shor o chesev excludes kilayim. OAs, that exclude a nidma, an animal that looks like a different, although it was born, let's say the goat, that an animal looks like a goat but was born from a sheep. Ki valei, that excludes the yotze dofen. These are all extra phrases. Vayashivas yamim, that excludes a mechusar zman, and tachasimo, that excludes a yaso. Meaning these phrases are there to teach us that, we'll think about that. A shor o chesed, it has to be a shor or a chesed, can't be a combination. A's, it has to be that, it has to be really a goat, not an animal that looks like a goat, but is really from a sheep. Kiva laid, it has to be born. So kiva, that's a yotze dofen, that's not considered a leida. Vaya shavas shamim, 7 days. If you're not a full week old, so it's mechus zman, can't be used as a carbon, and maser behema as well. Tachas imo, we'll see with that, it comes to include the yasom. So this is all regarding carbonos. How do we know it applies to maser behema as well? So we learn from kachim, because when it comes to maser behema, it says kol asher ya'avor tachas hashavet, and in Vayikra Chav Zayin and Parshas Bechukosai uses the word tachas, and it says right here tachas imo. Just like when it comes to kachim, all of these halachos are excluded, all of these animals would be excluded from being brought as a korban, so to tachas, the halacha would apply as well to a maser behema. But what's not on this list is treifa. How do we know treifa is no good for a maser behema? Because it says kol asher ya'avor. You have to pass through the gate of the corral, tachas hashavet, underneath the scepter. So that excludes a treifa. Why is it excludes a treifa? So one of the treifas that we know is where from the knee to the bottom was cut off, so that one's unable to walk. And once that treifa, type of treifa, is excluded from the words kol asher ya'avor, you have to be able to walk, so too all treifas to exclude it. Ezu yasom, you mentioned the yasom is excluded from the words tachas imo, and the connection of tachas to from maser behema to these karbanos, halachos of karbanos in general. Kol shemesa imo o shenishchata. Either the mother died, or let's say the mother was shechted after this baby was born. Rabbi Yeshua Omer, afilu nishchata imo v'hashelach kayam ein ze yasom. Says Rabbi Yeshua, even if you shechted the mother died, the kid's not a yasom if the skin, the hide of the mother is still around, it's not considered a yasom. Why is that? Because the practice seemed to be, if the mother died at the time when giving birth to this animal, they would wrap the offspring in the hide to warm it, and therefore it's as if the mother is alive, and therefore it doesn't have the status of the yasom, and this animal therefore can enter the corral for maser behema. That is the opinion of Rabbi Yoshua.